is almost too far to be a Salvi splash. Taylor grounds it up the middle. Base hit. Here's Dozier. And the Royals win it in the bottom of the 10th.
Salvador Perez with a game-tying solo home run in the bottom of the 9th. And as you just heard there, Michael A. Taylor with the walk-off single to win it for the Royals in the bottom of the 10th inning. A dramatic finish on Wednesday night there in Kansas City as the Royals have now won 7 of their last 8 as they take it 3-2 in 10 innings over the White Sox. Kind of a slow game to start. Lucas Giolito did an outstanding job of holding the Royals down. No hit through 5, I believe. We'll hear the cut from, actually, we have a different cut from Mike Matheny, but the Royals were no hit through 5 innings, and then in the 6th, the seventh, got to Giolito anyway to get one run. It was an RBI from Jorge Soler doubled, but Salvador Perez actually scored on an error. So Soler didn't actually get credit. Yeah, he did. He got credit for an RBI there. So, Perez did end up scoring on an error, though, and that cut the White Sox lead. They scored 2 on Chris Bubich in the 5th, cut the lead down to 2-1 in the 7th, and then as you heard, all the dramatic ending as Perez hit the homer in the 9th. In the 10th inning, the Royals actually had, if you recall, Scott Barlow, by the way, mowed down the White Sox there in the 10th to not allow them to score a run with a courtesy runner at second base to start the inning. Again, the new rules, which are, I think, most likely going to be abandoned coming up when play resumes in 2022. But the Royals had that courtesy runner to start. It was Andrew Benintendi, who went out as a courtesy runner at second base. Hanser Alberto sacrificed him over to third. And then Hunter Dozier grounded into a fielder's choice. And actually, Benintendi got in a rundown, so that allowed Dozier to get to second base. Although Benintendi was tagged out at home, that allowed Dozier to be in scoring position. And Michael A. Taylor came through with a single to shallow center to get the victory for the Royals. From Mike Matheny, the manager of the Royals, here are his thoughts on Michael A. Taylor.
You know, I don't know how many times it's happened for Michael. We've watched certain guys. They seem to thrive in those positions. And every time it seems like you have a little success, it's almost like you've got some more confidence and hunger for it the next time. So Michael's done a lot of things right this year, and this just goes along with that list. And, yeah, he'll be getting a Christmas card for sure.
The running joke there for Matheny, and if people do good things, do they get a Christmas card? Michael A. Taylor, again, helping the Royals to the win with that walk-off on Wednesday night. The Royals, again, now 44-56. The White Sox 60-42. The two teams will finish out their four-game series this afternoon at Kauffman Stadium at 110 in Kansas City. And pitching matchup today has going for the Royals Carlos Hernandez. He's 1-1 with a 6.04 ERA. And he'll take on Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, who's 8-4 with a 2.24 ERA. Again, that's this afternoon. A 1-10 first pitch. The Royals can win the series. They're up 2-1 right now. The White Sox are looking to get the win here and split the four-game set with the Royals there. White Sox still in first place. The American League Central standings with that 60-42 record. They're well ahead of Cleveland, who's 8.5 games behind. One game above 500 at 50-49. Tigers in third. Royals have moved up to fourth place after winning 7 of their last 8. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And the Twins are 3-7 in their last 10, so the Twins have moved back down to the last place spot in the American League Central. Boston Red Sox are 63-40 and in first place in the American League East. The Tampa Bay Rays are 60-42, 2.5 games behind in second place. The New York Yankees, 53-47. They're 8.5 back right now in the AL East, but the Yankees have made a move. They're trying to make a move, finalizing a trade for Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. The deal is pending a medical review expected to be made official today. The Rangers would receive right-hander Glenn Otto, second baseman Ezekiel Duran, shortstop Josh Smith, and second baseman outfielder Trevor Hauber from New York. Sources have told Jeff Passan of ESPN. Texas will send an additional player, pitcher Joely Rodriguez, to New York. to complete the blockbuster trade. Joey Gallo, again, looks like he's headed to the Yankees. Other MLB standings right now, the Astros in first place by 6 games over the A's in the AL West. In the NL East, the Mets are in first place 4 games ahead of the Phillies. Brewers are 7 games ahead of the Reds in first place in the NL Central. And the San Francisco Giants continue to be the best team in baseball, winning percentage-wise at 63-38. 2 games ahead of the Dodgers, 5.5 ahead of the Padres in the NL West. Let's look at Major League Baseball and the standings. We'll continue to keep looking at the trade deadline possibilities, trades that are going through, and again, deadline coming up here this weekend. Max Scherzer is a name that's really being talked about, could possibly be traded with some different destinations that could be possible. He has ruled out Houston and Philadelphia as destinations, but he can veto a trade using his 10 years of service, 5 at the same team, 10 and 5 rights is what they're called. Max Scherzer could possibly be traded here before the deadline, and that would be a major get for anybody that would add Scherzer to their roster. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. But again, Joey Gallo, really the only thing looking like is on the list right now of possible moves here. Again, trade deadline coming up. I believe it's on Saturday. I'm going to double check that, make sure I have the exact time. But I think it's Saturday afternoon. Trade deadline, actually, it's tomorrow. It is set for Friday. I don't know if they don't want to do that weekend or anyway, deadline, the non-waiver deadline. So if they clear waivers, you can still trade. And then there's a waiver deadline coming up later as well. But Major League Baseball trade deadline is tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that, see how everything plays out with Major League Baseball with possible trades coming up. All right, still to come here on the Sports Ticket, we're going to give you an update on the Big 12 Conference realignment and where that sits. We'll also update you on the Olympics. Some interesting things happening already today. And also coming up, we'll talk about the NBA draft, which is tonight. But before all that, I think people know that Aaron Rodgers, it was a kind of a tumultuous offseason, I guess you would say, for the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers did admit he considered retirement, detailing his offseason long standoff with the Green Bay Packers and still isn't sure what, if anything, will change. He is coming back, though, for a 17th season. And he spoke at length yesterday to media about how the Packers have handled things within their organization, within their star players. And he was very candid, did not hold back on anything yesterday. And it's like, well, why would he? I mean, all the things that are going on in that relationship. I'm going to tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers, you're going to hear him. I'm going to play about 4 minutes of audio from Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to say some things about the Packers, and you're going to think, well, the Packers should reprimand him, or how are they letting him do this? Well, the thing is, the way things are looking right now, he's gone after 2021 anyway. So coming out and saying these things, Rodgers still doesn't know what his future holds beyond this season and said that while he has not ruled out a return to the Packers, he's also not been told he would be able to dictate where he could play in 2022 if he chooses to. So we'll see how that all plays out. But there seems to be some kind of agreement where Rodgers will probably not be in Green Bay after 2021. So he says these things. I'm going to tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers, just I full disclosure, like to watch the Pat McAfee show, and Aaron Rodgers was with him every Tuesday during the season this year, and they kind of discussed some things, and Aaron Rodgers is not afraid to speak his mind, and that's refreshing. You kind of like it in a guy that obviously has a right to speak his mind as a reigning MVP in the NFL, and you know, maybe if a coach did some different things, Tampa Bay Buccaneers might not be the Super Bowl champions. Who knows how that would have ended up? They go for it instead of kicking a field goal there toward the end of the NFC Championship game. So again, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that, again, not afraid to speak his mind, but I'm going to tell you right now, when he's out there on the field, his teammates are dialed in with him. Davante Adams did not want to talk about coming back to Green Bay unless he knew Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback. The Packers are welcoming back Randall Cobb, This coming down last night, Green Bay Packers officially brought back Randall Cobb, with the team announcing a trade with the Houston Texans for its longtime receiver Wednesday night. Green Bay said they sent Houston undisclosed draft pick in return. Source told ESPN that the Packers only had to give up a sixth-round pick and got Texans to eat $3 million of Cobb's salary. Cap hit on the Packers will be slightly under $3 million. Cobb, who turns 31 on August 22nd, played his first eight seasons in Green Bay. One of Aaron Rodgers' go-to receivers. Cobb tweeted earlier on Wednesday, "I'm coming home," with his picture in a Packers uniform. So Randall Cobb, I believe, will be part of what you'll hear from Aaron Rodgers here, but he is back now with the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers has one of his former weapons to have on his team here again. Again, Aaron Rodgers, I think everybody that's played with him understands that he keeps the business side of this thing separate. He goes out and plays football, and that was clear last year, right? When obviously very disappointed that the Packers moved up to take Jordan Love at quarterback when they had needs with skill position players, especially at wide receiver, to get weapons for Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball to. And did that deter Aaron Rodgers last year? No, I think it put another chip on his shoulder. I think he wanted to be a good teammate and go out and win games, and really he did that. Obviously, he was the MVP of the NFL last year. The drafting of Jordan Love and the business part of everything did not deter him from really even helping out Jordan Love sometimes. I mean, he wasn't like, "Hey, come here, I'm going to show you all the ropes, I'm going to do everything for you." Now, that probably wasn't there, but there were times where you saw videos of him helping Jordan Love understand the game. And when he's out there on the field, I feel like, from what I see, that Aaron Rodgers is a team player. But when you're talking about the business side of the game, he had some things to say yesterday in his first press conference. And coming back to Green Bay, I'm going to play this, about 4 minutes worth of Aaron Rodgers, but it's a very interesting 4 minutes here on the Sports Ticket.
There was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing. You know, this was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation. Not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer up my services as a recruiter, you know. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like, based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. as that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021 and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much.
Aaron Rodgers, again, with some very deep thoughts, some very critical thoughts, obviously, of how the Green Bay Packers are handling their organization. I've said this before. I think one of the things that kind of stands out about the Packers is they don't have one owner running around the building to really tell Brian Gutekunst, the GM for the Packers, that this is who we want. This is what we want to do. You know, the owner is a bunch of people that have shares. They're stockholders or shareholders in the stock of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, it's unfortunate, I feel like, for the Packers. I mean, you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and you're not going to let him be involved. Well, listen, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers goes out and basically plays the role of GM. Like, he's the guy that's going to sign players for the Packers. But when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, and he has established himself and done so many things in this league, and now this past season was the league MVP, you're not going to let that guy at least go recruit people, say, hey, come play with the Packers, play with me, we're good. We need you to get over that next hurdle and win another Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl with the Packers. He's had numbers and seasons where he should have more than one Super Bowl ring. But the fact is, he has one Super Bowl ring. But, again, use him as an ally to what you're trying to do in free agency. And he mentioned several guys in there, including Riley, Kansas' own Jordy Nelson, Leonardville, Kansas' own Jordy Nelson from Riley County, was one of the guys that he mentioned that we either lowballed these guys, didn't give them a contract, or we just let them walk, or what have you. And obviously Randall Cobb, like I said before going into it, will be a name that he mentioned, and he mentioned Randall Cobb. He mentioned a lot of different guys, all the way back to Charles Woodson, who's been out of the Packers organization for quite a while now. And so he's got... And that's all in his mind. He knows what's going on. He understands what the Packers are doing or what they're not doing in regards to free agency and really trying to help improve this team and or keep them where they're at. I mean, veteran guys that you're just getting rid of and really not offering deals to stay, or like Aaron Rodgers said, lowballing them and not giving them an offer of something that they're actually worth to try to keep something together and maybe win more championships there in Green Bay. But, again, I feel like there's a little bit of a, I don't know if Brian Gutekunst has this power trip to where he knows he's the guy that makes these decisions. Mark Murphy's the whatever CEO. I don't even know what Mark Murphy's title is. President of operations. I'm not real sure, but you know, Mark Murphy's the guy that kind of really deals with the president and CEO of the Packers. So I got both of those kind of right. But, I mean, he's not the one really making these decisions. It's Gutekunst that makes the decisions, and he's not making great ones, to be completely honest. And Aaron Rodgers is kind of calling him out on that and saying, hey, do what you want, but don't let me sit here and be a lame duck quarterback. Like, help me out and let me help you. Let's work together to continue the improvement of this franchise moving forward. But he's not been given any kind of timeline to where, yeah, we believe in you, we trust you, you're our quarterback until the wheels fall off or anything like that. And it's just crazy to me how that whole thing is handled with Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've seen. Obviously, in this era, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks. I mean, there's no question that Aaron Rodgers toward the top of the game right now as a quarterback. Again, he was the MVP of the NFL just this past season. And I get his frustration, and I like that he's candid about it. I like that he can go in front of the Green Bay media with all of his Green Bay Packers garb on after training camp practice and just talk about how poorly they're running their organization from a business standpoint. And it's really insane when you really think about it. So great stuff there from Aaron Rodgers. You know, one of the things we've talked about on the show is, and I think, you know, Alex Smith actually talked about this. I believe it was on the Rich Eisen show, talking about how it's just insane that you would draft a quarterback and not tell your franchise quarterback who's currently on the team that you're drafting a quarterback and we might be moving in a different direction soon. Alex Smith was asked, did Kansas City tell you that? It might have been Colin Cowherd. I can't remember if it was Cowherd or Eisen, but said, did Kansas City ask you? And he said, absolutely. They asked me, or they didn't ask me. They told me this is what we're doing. We just wanted to let you know that this is kind of the direction we're thinking about going. And Patrick Mahomes, we're gonna draft him if we have the opportunity to. And they moved up, picked Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith absolutely knew that he had an audition year, or maybe two if he was lucky, to try to position himself for another job in the NFL. And he only had the 1 year. And he auditioned himself very well, had his best passing season and his best season with the Chiefs under Andy Reid. Positioned himself very, very well to get traded to the Washington Redskins at the time. It's now the Washington football team. And we know how that all worked out for Alex Smith with the broken leg and the 18-month break and comeback player of the year award last year with the Washington football team. And now Washington said, goodbye, we're cutting you. But Alex Smith knew that that was coming. And one of the biggest examples of how maybe you should do things is the Chicago Bears, right? They signed Andy Dalton in the offseason. The man has not taken a snap for the Bears, but they called him and let him know that they were planning on taking Justin Fields if he was available. They're planning on taking a quarterback if available. And Andy Dalton was let know by the Bears and has not taken a snap for that team. There's ways to go about it, and the Packers seem to do everything wrong from that standpoint. And again, Aaron Rodgers just say they're coming. It's not a vacation destination. The people are coming here to play with me. Now, the Packers have a lore. They have a tradition. It was well established before Aaron Rodgers stepped foot in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So part of that is obviously Aaron Rodgers frustrated and saying, hey, right now, but I agree with him, right now, if you go to the Packers, you're going to play with Aaron Rodgers because you're trying to win a Super Bowl, right? You're trying to win a ring. You're going to play with Aaron Rodgers, and what those Packers team, or what the Packers mean right now, is Aaron Rodgers leading the way. So you kind of get that from both sides of it, right? The Packers, not a vacation destination, but the Packers have won a lot of Super Bowls and a lot of games. You know, they won a lot of NFL championships way back before the Super Bowl even existed, and so the Packers are not a team that. It's not like Aaron Rodgers built this franchise and organization, but I do get the point that right now those players are going to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. So interesting stuff there from Aaron Rodgers, and we'll see how it all plays out after the 2021 season if Green Bay indeed does have a deal in place with him to go ahead and let him walk after 2021 and they move on to Jordan Love. Be interesting to see how Aaron Rodgers plays this year. Does he play at that MVP level again, win another MVP, and then the Packers are like, well, see you later, because they don't know how to run a business. We'll see how it all plays out for Aaron Rodgers in the 2021 NFL season. All right, I'm going to go to Big 12 and the newest there. Then we'll end with NBA draft and Olympics coming up later on here in the show. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boulsby has accused ESPN of encouraging other conferences to pick apart the league so Texas and Oklahoma can move to the Southeastern Conference more quickly and without paying a massive buyout. This story coming from ESPN, and actually the Associated Press released this, and it's posted on ESPN website. Boulsby told the AP on Wednesday after sending a cease and desist letter to the network, I have absolute certainty that they, ESPN, have been involved in manipulating other conferences to go after our members. The letter addressed to ESPN executive Burt Magnus, president of programming content, said the Big 12 had become aware the network had taken actions to not only harm the Big 12 Conference, but to result in financial benefits for ESPN. ESPN, which owns the SEC network, signed a $3 billion deal with the SEC last year that will give the network the broadcast rights to all the conference's football games starting in 2024. The network also has a contract with the Big 12, though it shares those rights with Fox. Those deals expire in 2025, as we know. In the letter, Boolsby said that ESPN has, quote, actively engaged in discussions with at least one other conference regarding that members or regarding that conference inducing additional members of the Big 12 Conference to leave the Big 12 Conference. That's a sentence that was hard to read, and I don't know if you understood it at all. Boolsby declined to name the conference in an interview with AP, but a person with knowledge of the situation said the commissioner was referring to the American Athletic Conference. More on that coming up momentarily. ESPN was told by, this is the funny thing about this, the end of this statement from Bob Boolsby. He says, Bob Boolsby stated that the, see where that's at. The Big 12 Conference reserves and will enforce all of its rights under the Grant of Rights Agreement and the Telecast Agreement to the full extent of the law and will not allow its business to be interfered with by its business partners or others. Please provide the Big 12 Conference with your written assurances that all such actions will immediately cease and desist by noon Central Time on July 29, 2021, unquote. That's today. Cease and desist today. To the threats from the Big 12, ESPN responded with a one-sentence statement in reply, saying, quote, the claims in the letter have no merit, unquote. That's it. That's all ESPN has provided to the Big 12. Because Bob Boolsby, is ESPN interfering? Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt that ESPN, Bob Boolsby says, ESPN is incentivizing other conferences to destabilize the Big 12. You destabilize the Big 12. Don't be blaming ESPN for that. Bob, this is the thing, okay? I understand. Is ESPN working with Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC? Most likely. Is ESPN working with the American Athletic Conference? Maybe so. I'm not sure what they're doing with the AAC. But the funniest thing in the world to me is this quote from Bob Boolsby. ESPN is incentivizing other conferences to destabilize the Big 12. Take some responsibility for your actions, Bob. Another reactive thing that the Big 12 Conference has done yesterday is threaten ESPN to cease and desist talking to members of our conference in a conference that you screwed up by letting Texas and Oklahoma get out and leave and did not take care of the people that are ruling this conference. And now you're saying that ESPN is incentivizing other conferences to destabilize the Big 12. You and your leadership, Bob Boolsby, destabilized the Big 12. ESPN is just taking what you had and ran with it. ESPN is trying to destabilize the Big 12. That's the funniest thing in that whole thing. Trying to destabilize the Big 12. Yeah, that's ESPN's fault. That's the SEC's fault. That's the American Athletic Conference's fault. It's everybody's fault but yours, isn't it, Bob? When you had all this opportunity to try to keep this alive, and 2 weeks ago you say, this is not something that keeps me up at night. Conference realignment. Bringing it up yourself, by the way. Saying thanks for not asking about expansion. I mean, forget about expansion. That's the story coming from ESPN. ESPN just like claims have no merit. Move on with your life, Bob Boolsby. We're not changing anything that we're doing over here. But ESPN shouldn't change anything that they're doing. ESPN, are they in talks with these people? Most likely. I have no doubt that they were part of the SEC thing with Texas and Oklahoma. Now, Bob Boolsby says that he claims that, but he can't prove it. And, you know, has all these things to say about it. Can't prove it. He says, this whole thing has been a complete articulation of deception. Yeah, because they're not wanting you to know about how bad you are at your job, Bob. Just wild to me. Wild to me. ESPN's the one trying to destabilize the Big 12. Now, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports had a story come out last night. He says the Big 12 is concerned that the American Athletic Conference is actively attempting to assume all 8 remaining league members once Texas and Oklahoma are formally accepted into the SEC. League sources tell CBS Sports. This comes as Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby told CBS Sports that ESPN is leading an attempt to restructure college sports. Boolsby said, quote, "I'm absolutely certain ESPN was involved in it with the American trying to poach our members." AAC Commissioner Mike Erisco did not respond to multiple requests for comment. ESPN provided the following statement Wednesday night. I already read that. Some of this stuff is the same, but different things that are talking about it. Big 12 has clearly taken a fight to the death stance, as the two most powerful members of its league are mere steps from joining the nation's most powerful conference. In fact, the Big 12 bylaws are written in such a way that if there is even one member remaining, a program can individually sue any of the entities in this discussion, the SEC, AAC, or even ESPN. Leaning on the quote-unquote disinterested directors clause in its bylaws, the Big 12 intends to make the migration of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC as difficult as possible. After losing 4 teams in the last round of conference realignment a decade ago, those bylaws were drafted in 2012 to stand for a period of 99 years. Texas and Oklahoma were part of the group who, according to one source, wanted the longest agreement possible. The last round of realignment led to the Big 12 registering itself as a corporation in the state of Delaware that helps prevent the case from being heard in Texas, where the University of Texas might have a legal advantage. Boolsby told CBS Sports Oklahoma and Texas are going to do everything they can to get out of the grant of rights and get out of the bylaw stipulations. It's going to be a long process. Boolsby recently told the 8 remaining Big 12 schools that his strategy is to fight for survival as long as they stay together. As long as the Big 12 remains viable, ESPN and Fox cannot reduce the conference's right fees under the current contract. So Big 12 wants to stay. That would mean that they make approximately $37 million annually. Industry sources told CBS Sports Big 12's worth declined 50 to 75% with the defections of the Longhorns and Sooners. 8 remaining schools are dealing with a lot. Boolsby told CBS Sports they're coming off a COVID year. They're coming off a rough year in ticket sales. If we stay together, I think we'll have some options in realignment. And while it's reasonable to expect further considerations in conference realignment, the Big 12 believes the conference themselves should control that dialogue instead of what it considers to be undue influence by ESPN. ESPN has exclusive rights to the ACC, have the rights to the SEC soon, shares Tier 1 media rights with Fox for Big 12, Big 10, and Pac-12. So those are some of the things that we're seeing here today. Some other things that are coming out and well, I have some other things that I've gotten there, but we'll kind of address that once I have a chance to actually look at it. I'm not going to read something that I haven't actually seen yet and put that out there at this time. But, again, where we're at right now, SEC is planning on meeting today. And that is a meeting between presidents and chancellors. There is not clear, it's unclear if they will actually vote on extending invitations to the conference to Oklahoma and Texas today. Again, as we've established before, 11 of the 14 members would need a vote in favor of inviting a new member. It appears that won't be a problem. Texas A&M officials had voiced their displeasure last week with the possibility of rival Texas joining the SEC, but A&M's Board of Regents on Wednesday directed University President Catherine Banks to vote in favor of the Longhorns and Sooners coming aboard. So this is what we were talking about the other day. We talked about, hey, A&M, Missouri don't like this, but by the end of all this, it's probably going to be a united front. Texas A&M board says expansion is the right path, directs president to approve extending invites to Texas and Oklahoma. The board released a statement after its meeting Wednesday, which was conducted in an executive session, saying although the board had concerns about the communication process relating to this matter today, the board received the information it needed to properly consider the long-term ramifications of possible expansion. The board concluded that this expansion would enhance the long-term value of the SEC to student-athletes and all of the institutions they represent, including Texas A&M, unquote. Who didn't think this was going to happen, right? I think we all, in the end, felt like, Texas A&M left the Big 12 because they wanted to get away from Texas. Ross Bjork says, hey, we want to be the only Texas school in the SEC. We're not cool with Texas A&M coming here. Ross Bjork, by the way, born in Dodge City, Kansas. And it's like, yeah, you can say that, but is that how your actual university feels? Is that how your regents feel? And clearly, the university and Regents have met and saying, eh, probably benefits us to add another 20-some million dollars a year to our university and our athletic department. Go ahead and approve it. It's clear that that was going to happen. So anybody that thought Texas A&M was going to try to sway other people the other way, crazy. So here's the bottom line. The question, I feel like, I don't think there's a question that Texas and Oklahoma will get approved and invited to membership in the SEC. I mean, I think that's all been figured out well before now in my eyes. And I think if you follow this at all, you know that is the case. The question is when, right? The question is, who's, how far is the Big 12 going to go? The question is, despite a cease and desist from the Big 12 to other conferences and ESPN, that doesn't mean the Big 12 schools can't go find that themselves. And you, Bob Bowlesby's going to have a tough time proving that if, let's say, five of these eight want to go to the AAC, some of them want to go to the Big 10, some to the Mountain West, wherever they end up, Pac-12, wherever ACC, wherever they end up. That does, how's Bob Bowlesby going to prove that those conferences were the ones that forced the, or that went after these schools? Because right now, these schools can say, yeah, we're a united front. They're not. I mean, if you are, you're not doing it right at this point in time. So if this whole thing dissolves, and Bob Bowlesby, by the way, I don't think is a person that can sue. It has to be the schools that agree that we were wronged here. And the schools, based on what I read a little bit ago, the schools are the ones that have to make that decision and try to sue either the SEC, the AAC, ESPN, whoever they want to sue, because they were wronged. The ship has sailed. Now it's just a matter of when, what year, with the grant of rights running through 2025 and Texas and Oklahoma officially applying to join the SEC in 2025 at this point in time. We'll see where that goes moving forward after the 2025. Be just ahead of the 2025 season, July 1st of 2025, is when officially this grant of rights is over and Texas and Oklahoma can go wherever they please. But it's funny, the Big 12 wants a cease and desist, and you're trying to destabilize our conference. Okay, Bob. Maybe you should work on not destabilizing the conference yourself. Do your job, and then you can worry about what's going on with these other people, with these other conferences, with these media entities that you feel are tearing your conference apart, and don't take any responsibility for you being a terrible AD, or not AD, commissioner. He might have been a terrible AD, too. I don't know. When he was at Stanford or Northern Iowa, wherever he's at. I mean, you've been a terrible commissioner, and you're the one that got the ball rolling on destabilizing the Big 12. Just got to be honest and understand that you messed up, too, Bob. We'll continue to keep our eyes on this situation. Seems like something new comes out every day, right, for us to talk about with conference realignment. Hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit slower, but again, with the meeting today by the SEC, we may find out that Texas and Oklahoma have been approved, or they've been extended invitations, which would take about 2 seconds for them to say, yeah, we want it, because they have already applied and asked for membership in the SEC. So that whole process, if there is a vote today, is not going to take very long for Texas and Oklahoma to become members of the SEC. Again, the question will be when that will happen. All right. Couple things before we wrap this sportscast. NBA draft coming up tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Looking at the consensus mock draft ahead of the draft from NBA.com, where it's not official yet, but most people are saying that the Pistons will take Cade Cunningham with the number one pick. I don't think that's really a question of concern for anybody. Some people are saying Jalen Green might move up there. Kind of a late move, but Cade Cunningham is the number one pick to the Pistons. I'm pretty confident in that. I would bet pretty confident on that. Now, I say that and it'll probably be Jalen Green. Jalen Green is expected to go number two to the Rockets. He's G League Ignite. Came out of high school and went right to the G League and is head of the NBA. Evan Mobley from USC projected to go number three to the Cavs. Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga projected number four to the Raptors. It's interesting when we look at this. Freshman G League freshman, Scotty Barnes is projected to be the number five pick for the Orlando Magic. So all five of these guys in the top five that are projected by the NBA.com mock draft, are all just 1 year out of high school. They either had freshman seasons, Scotty Barnes at Florida State, or they played in the G League. And James Bounight expected or projected to be the number six pick to the Thunder. Jonathan Kuminga, another G League guy, at seven to the Warriors. International Josh Giddey to the Magic from Australia. Franz Wagner to the Kings, projected at number nine. Moses Moody projected to be the number 10 pick, another freshman by the Grizzlies. And then from Turkey, Alperen Şengün, expected to go to the Hornets. I've seen a lot of mock drafts saying that the center would go to the Spurs, and the Spurs are projected to pick, in a consensus mock draft, Davion Mitchell from the Baylor. As a Spurs fan, listen, I love Davion Mitchell. I'm tired of guards. That's just a personal comment. Most of y'all probably don't follow the Spurs, probably don't care. But as a Spurs fan, I'm trying to stay away from having every player on the roster be a guard. Corey Kispert of Gonzaga is projected to go 13 to the Pacers in a consensus mock draft, and Kaya Jones of Texas all the way up to 14. I've seen the ESPN projection had him at 21. So they say Kaya Jones 14 to the Warriors. Again, that's a consensus mock draft. Again, ESPN.com has Şengün going to the Spurs there at 12. Cade Cunningham is number one on every one of these mock draft lists. And so we'll see how it all plays out. But NBA draft tonight, Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State expected number one. Again, things start at 7 o'clock on ESPN. All right, a couple other notes before we let you go from the Olympics. Everybody thought since Simone Biles was out of the all-around competition, the U.S. would not have an all-around gold medal in women's gymnastics. But that is not the case. An American did finish atop the podium Thursday. Suni Lee became the fifth straight American woman to claim the Olympic title, edging Rebeca Andrade of Brazil in an entertaining and highly contested final, while defending champion Simone Biles watched from the stands. Lee's total of 57.433 points, just enough to top Andrade, who earned the first gymnastics all-around medal by a Latin American athlete but missed out on gold when she stepped out of bounds twice during her floor routine. Russian Olympic Committee gymnast Angelina Melnikova earned bronze 2 days after the ROC won the gold in the team final. Lee and the Americans earned a silver medal in that event. But again, Suni Lee for the U.S., the all-around gymnastics gold medal winner. Also of note, a couple gold medals last night for the U.S. In the summer games there, as Caleb Dressel claimed his first individual gold in swimming, winning the 100-meter freestyle. Bobby Fink picked up a surprise gold in the debut of the men's 800-meter freestyle. Trying to go up and see where the latest medal count sits at this point in time in the Olympics. The U.S. starting to pull away again from the overall medals standpoint. They're at 38. China's at 31. Russian Olympic Committee at 28 for overall medal standings. And then gold medals. China is now tied with Japan for the most gold medals at 15. And the U.S. is one behind with 14 golds here at the Olympics. So it's an update on what's going on in Tokyo, and we'll continue to follow that and keep you up to date on that as well. So those are the things we have here for today. One other thing that didn't get to the local earlier, we do want to congratulate the Concordia Chevys, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week, the members of the Concordia Chevy Buick Peewee Baseball Team. They were the 2021 Kansas Peewee Baseball State Champions last week in Clyde. They made it to the state tournament by way of an 11-5 win over Pike Valley in District 1 Championship. And Concordia Chevy Buick opened state with a 6-3 win over Wakanda, followed by an 8-2 win over Hanover in the semis. Concordia Chevy squad claimed the title with a 10-5 win over Bremen last Friday in Clyde. Again, Concordia Chevy's Peewee Baseball Team, the Athletes of the Week, from NCKSSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. And yesterday at the K-18 State Baseball Tournament, Concordia CMB won the championship over Clay Center 4-3. Phillipsburg took third place, a 7-6 comeback win over Smith Center. Full bracket and scores from K-18 State Baseball can be found at NCKSSports.com. American Legion State is at Pittsburgh as well. Republic County Rebels are playing there. They lost to Marysville in their first pool play match 10-3 yesterday, and they're 0-1 in pool A. They'll take on Silver Lake at 6 o'clock tonight and pool play in Pittsburgh. Again, that schedule is also posted at ncksports.com. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in today on the Sports Ticket. We'll have it again tomorrow here on Katy Country 94. Have a great day, everybody.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.